This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. We suck so you don't have to. And it's quarterback-a-palooza again. There's Mark Grody over there. Hi, Mark Grody. How are you?
What, you got a quarterback for the Bears, Steve? Who you
got,
man?
I got all of them. I got
really?
All of them. You know how Ryan Pace gets used, and we've seen him bid against himself? You know how he gets used in leverage? Well, now the Bears are getting used in every kind of tweet, report, suggestion. They are just getting bounced around, and we've seen an example of it in the last 12 hours. Let me
show you.
You
know what? You might be right. In fact, I'll go so far as to say you're right, but I like it. As a matter of fact, I love it. I love that the Bears are, even if they're in play in an untoward way, I like that they're sort of in play. Even if it's, I'll use another word, even if it's a peripheral way, even if it's pie in the sky, I like that the Bears are thinking about these things, because it could have, I mean, the Bears could turn back into a pumpkin, and the pumpkin in this case would be Nick Foles, because that's where it still could be trending. But the fact that what you're saying is the Bears have a chance, it's all I need. It's all I need to be at this pitch of enthusiasm right now at 11:03 on a Saturday morning.
Look at that. He's referencing Dumb and Dumber while talking about the Bears' pursuit of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And Cinderella.
So, yes.
Yeah, this is a good right. This is a good show so far.
So let me explain where we are. I'll explain, Lucy. Brad Biggs reported yesterday, posted online at ChicagoTribune.com, that the wording is particular here, so let me get it exact. The thinking among multiple sources is the Bears have prioritized making a run at Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. I'll read that again. You can parse this however you want, but it is worded in a particular way that the thinking among multiple sources is the Bears have prioritized making a run at Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. So this is only the thinking of multiple sources. This does not say, in fact, the Bears have prioritized making a run at Russell Wilson. That's goal number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's from Brad Biggs. So then Bleacher Report goes back to Lewis Riddick, ESPN insider, telling Rich Eisen that he's got this, here's the Deshaun Watson derby. The Panthers with a new owner, make a big splash, blah, blah, blah. We've seen that before. Plus the Jets and Dolphins, because you want to set up some kind of bidding war between divisional rivals, and the Jets certainly have what with to give in draft picks, and they could give you another quarterback, whatever Houston wants to do. But then there's this from Lewis Riddick. It becomes everybody's go-to, everybody's crutch. Quote, I keep saying this, and I know the people who work there, and some of them are good friends of mine, are probably sitting there going, Lewis, why are you doing this to us? But they know it too, in Chicago. They are in a tough, tough spot, okay? If they don't swing, and I mean Barry Bonds knock it out of the park swing and hit at quarterback, they are in a tough spot, end quote. So that's where we are. That's where the Bears have now become fodder for writers on whatever side of the quarterback, whatever great quarterback you want, that the Bears will never get, as well as teams leveraging the Bears. So given all that, Mark, what do you know? What do you think has much changed in the 2 weeks since we last spoke of this vexing issue?
I prefer to look at it from a slightly more optimistic view, and that is I never would have thought that the Bears would have in a million years been named in conjunction with Russell Wilson in this offseason, or Deshaun Watson, although that's really not happened. I'll not go straw man on you there. But just the fact that there is talk, and I get it, some of it might be for leverage. Some of it is just for what we're doing right now, and that's sports talk radio. But you can't rule out the possibility. And there are sobering sides to it. There are real possible sides to it. And, you know, I find the whole thing, if nothing else, I find it very interesting. And I think that Bears fans can keep hoping until we hear from actually Russell Wilson as opposed to his agent saying, I ain't going anywhere, then you have to keep hopeful. Because these things, like right now, so much of it is hearsay and the talking heads and the people that you have quoted and sources and things like that. But guess what? Eventually, and we're getting close, we will actually hear from the actual participants. About the middle of March, I think that we will start to hear actual voices about what might actually happen. If I had to hit the yes or no button, no, I don't think the Bears are going to get Russell Wilson. However, it can't be ruled out and crazier things have happened. Or maybe they haven't. Maybe the Bears getting Russell Wilson would be the craziest thing that has ever happened in Chicago sports. Yeah, no, I think you're right. You're right, Trackman. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, like the Khalil Mack thing was massive. The Jay Cutler moment was pretty huge as well. I'm thinking about in any of our sports, players that were acquired. Like everybody likes to go to like John Lester and Marian Hossa. Those were great, great signings and or acquisitions, but not as shocking and surprising. Like one could have expected that the Cubs would go for somebody like John Lester or Marian Hossa on the Blackhawks. One probably did not expect that the Bears would A, go for Russell Wilson, and B, land him. I got a whole alphabet here if you got time.
Although I should say real quick, we might be belittling the Michael Jordan returns to the Bulls in 1995. story, because that might be the craziest thing.
Well, even that, Michael Jordan had played for the Chicago Bulls. There was an association. It didn't come out of left field. It didn't. The Bulls had won three titles. There was something that was not as as great as that. Like, that's a different category. That was biggest smile in Chicago sports history category. This is a different category. The Bears landing a legitimate franchise quarterback, let me think here, has never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I thought that right after I said it. I was like, you know what?
No, it's good. I appreciate your effort there, Studs. It was considered, as you saw me do, but it fits in a slightly different category. Michael Jordan returning.
In until you said player, I had two names that were bigger, two things that surprised me more than anything that I thought were massive. And one was the Cubs getting Theo Epstein.
That's good.
Think Tom Ricketts was capable of that.
That's good.
He seized upon it. And the Blackhawks getting Scotty Bowman, because he seemed entrenched there. I know the opportunity to work in the same organization as his son was a big deal, but I just didn't think Detroit would say, hey, we're going to let Hockey Yoda go. And I think those were huge. But when you limit it to players, I guess if you're talking about trades, the trades would be different from free agent signings in that you had to give something up and you could win it. I would think Khalil Mack was a massive move. I don't think, as far as surprise, right? Wasn't that a surprise? Wait,
absolutely.
Really? And I wrote about that as some dream. I remember writing about it a month before it happened in the Tribune saying, this is it. If he's out there, do this. I look at the same thing with Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. If they're out there, you have to do this. More so than Khalil Mack, because this guy's more important. Whoever that guy is, he's more important than Khalil Mack. So you have to do this. But both of these reports, understand, it keeps the name alive. This is why at my Trader Joe's, the Capo de Tutti Cappy was mad at going, can you tell everybody on sports radio just shut up? There is no quarterback here. They're not coming here. When they come here, you can do it. But this is just a headache. And I said, well, the opportunity to get one is something Bears fans have never seen, so we need to keep warming up to this idea. But these two thoughts, one from Brad Biggs sizing up the sources as saying the thinking is, and this from about Russell Wilson, and this from Lewis Riddick saying he has the Bears as a dark horse and Deshaun Watson, because they're in a tough spot. Nobody links the Bears to actual offers. Oh my God. Now? This early in Saturday Suckage?
I'm shocked too.
We have our breaking phone call sounder. Oh. So, Trash Panda, share with us.
I believe you guys know this one. Wayne in Lafayette is on the line.
Okay, buckle up, everybody. Wayne, how you doing?
How you doing there, compadres? How's everything going out there in the big city?
Oh, we're big.
Always think big, Groats. Always think big, buddy.
That's right.
Man, oh, man. Hey, buddy, I got a big-time question for you about this quarterback deal, but I was wondering, did you hear your Illinois state coach with Lawrence W.B., I want to be a cowboy, baby, Holmes yesterday on the score?
I missed that. And now I'm going to have to
go back and check it out, man. Check it out. But anyway, yeah, hey, can Mr. Pace do the same thing with Russell Wilson? Do you use the same kind of strategy? I don't know what he did to get Mac, if he was the only one that knew or what the heck the strategy was, but can he use the same kind of strategy to get Russell Wilson in here for us, big buddy?
Oh, yeah.
We'll ask him. You know,
it would definitely be...
Mark, can Ryan Pace, now you're the football expert, and I think the question needs to be, can Ryan Pace use the same first-round draft picks to get Russell Wilson that he used to get Khalil Mack?
The same ones from back then or now? The answer is no, and then the other answer is no, because you'd probably need more first-round picks if you want to talk truthfully about what it would take. Because right now, even though it seems wobbly for Seattle, they have all the power. They have all the chips, and they don't have to do anything that they don't want to do. So at this point, they would be Seattle would be ridiculous to trade him for anything but an absolute ridiculous max, let's call it a super max haul. So it would be much more costly than anything that you gave up for Khalil Mack. But, yeah. You know, maybe the Bears would be at this point in desperation mode, not just for a season, but for a franchise and a franchise's history, quite frankly, that they might be desperate enough, or I don't know if that's the right word, motivated enough to get that done and to have, what, Russell Wilson's 32? You'd probably have 4 to 5 star years. You'd have that guy. That's the only problem, the 32-ness, but who cares?
It wasn't a problem for Tom Brady. He's out a decade since he was 32, decade plus.
Yeah.
The Score listener line, and Wayne reminds me that I should remind you, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You know what we're going to visit next with a football expert who might have all the answers or none of the answers or some suggestion of what they should do and what they might do and how those are different. He is Hub Arkush, the senior football guru on the Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Brody. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. And we hope to find a way the Bears don't have to continue sucking at quarterback. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You don't know if you can get the right kind of deal because, you know, now you're trading a top five quarterback and you're not going to get a quarterback as good as he is in the next 10 years. Now, I know that Nick signed a 6-year deal. And so in these 6 years, I mean, the team's going to be bad. And so I know that there's still some people in the organization that think maybe it's one to consider making a trade. But again, if you trade him, you're going to be down for so many years. Sure, you could, you know, if maybe you get the Jets to give up a second pick, but which they won't, then you have a chance to draft a quarterback, but he's not going to be good as Deshaun Watson. And of course, if you make a trade with the Jets, there's not enough good players to fill the needs if it's going to be 4 draft choices and 2 good defensive players. So that doesn't work out.
That is John Clayton of the Washington Post. He was on these airwaves with Hub Arkush. And now on Saturday Suckage here on The Score, Hub Arkush is joining us on The Score Hotline presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford at Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Hub, how you doing this morning?
I am good, Steve. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're trying to suss out these lack of reports and what's true, what's not, where is this headed. It seems like the Bears are getting used in tweets and reports the same way Ryan Pace gets used for leverage when you have Lewis Riddick painting the Bears as a dark horse in the Deshaun Watson derby, and you have Brad Biggs saying the thinking among sources, only the thinking is the Bears are prioritizing Russell Wilson. I guess you go as far as you can, but it neither report sounds firm, authoritative, proactive. So share with us what you know and what you think. And they might be, they generally are two different things.
Well, guys, and Steve, this will, for those of us who grew up in the journalism business, if you will, the idea that when you report things like this, it's supposed to be based on some type of intelligence or knowledge or reliable sources. It's a really frustrating time to be in the business. It's a great time for talk radio. It's a great time for, you know, social media and the web and whatever. But as far as what's really going on with the Chicago Bears, the reason I went out the other night and got some of the other old timers, but also guys with credentials. I mean, Hall of Fame writers, John McClain down in Houston, John Clayton, who's writing for the Washington. Is to bring some sanity to it. Number one, these guys aren't getting traded. Okay, that's where we're at right now. Neither team has any intention of dealing Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, that can change. You know, players can be bad actors. Teams can make mistakes. Things can happen. But right now, it's off the table. And one of the reasons it's off the table is John.
Oh,
the Seahawks trade Russell Wilson this year, this season, they will take a $39 million dead cap hit, the biggest dead cap hit in the history of the NFL, and that would represent more than 20% of their salary cap that they have nobody playing, you know, and you just can't do that. So forget everything else. Forget the logic of trading a franchise quarterback for, you know, the Texans to take a $20 million cap hit or for the Seahawks to take a $39 million cap hit. It makes no sense whatsoever, on top of the fact that it makes no sense to deal a franchise quarterback when you know how hard they are to get and what would possibly be enough to get in return. And then to finish this long-winded answer, guys, of the six or seven or eight teams who probably have legitimate interest in those two guys, the Bears have the least to offer. So, you know, I mean, we can continue to have this conversation ad nauseum, but it isn't going to make it real or maybe even make it possible.
Bob, you did say, and I know you said it sort of parenthetically, that things can change. What do you mean by that? What would make things change as it pertains to Russell Wilson and or Deshaun Watson being traded from their respective teams?
Well, I was a little surprised, and I was hosting Thursday night, and Clayton and I are on exactly the same page as far as Wilson. But John McClain, who is literally one of the best NFL writers, one of the most connected, one of the most important media voices in the NFL, took a pretty different track on Watson. And his point is that people don't understand how toxic it's gotten down in Houston. And he's not saying that it's one person's fault. He's saying it's not all Watson's fault. Yes, Watson is being kind of a spoiled rich kid, saying, you know, I don't like this, so give me what I want. But his point is that Watson does have some reason to be unhappy. Now, is it enough reason to possibly hold out of OTAs and minicamp and training camp and realize $20 million in fines and possibly give the Texans a reason to claw back the $110 million guaranteed they gave him? I would think not, you know, but there is that possibility. And you know, Houston has been here before. You got to remember that the Houston fan base goes all the way back to the Oilers deserting them for Nashville. And so you do worry about, you know, not even if you don't care about your fans, you care about the money they spend on you. There are marketing and PR issues here. And so it depends on how toxic Watson wants to make it. Wilson isn't going to do that in Seattle. But right now, Nick Caserio, who I know a little bit from his time in New England, when he says he has no intentions of trading him, he means it. And so it's not on the table now, but it just depends on how ugly Watson wants to let things get.
Our guest is senior football genius, Hub Arkish, the executive editor and publisher of Pro Football Weekly and football analyst for Shaw Media. One of the ways that it could happen, because what might change things, on draft day, the 3 first round pick rule gets moved to 4. Is that right? Only on draft day, the draft day special. Do I have that rule correct or am I in error, Hub?
I am not sure of the rule that we're talking about right now, to be honest with you, Steve.
I thought that you could only trade first-round draft picks 3 years out. However, that changed on draft day, and you could add a fourth year to it if you did it on that day. That's what I thought, which would not, for example, change the cap hit that the Seahawks would absorb for Russell Wilson, but maybe that extra first-round pick, you know, in some way ameliorates the pain of that.
You could be right. I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I hadn't heard that one before. You could very well be right. You know, I'm not sure what the point of that rule would be in terms of limiting a team in how many of their own first-round picks they can give up. But, you know, it could very well be the rule. I don't think that's the issue. I think everybody has pretty much agreed that the problem with that is that the NFL has become a league where teams turn around in a year or two. There's no more 5-year plans. They're all 3-year plans right now. So while, you know, that could be the rule and it could be correct, I think teams focus are at what if I'm going to make a trade, if I'm going to give up a Watson or a Wilson, where am I going to be in 2 years and 3 years? I don't know if they're thinking 4 or 5 years down the road. So getting 4 or 5 number ones, I mean, I suppose it would matter. You know, we've heard goofy things like that in the NBA before. But I don't know that that's going to have a big impact on whether or not a deal gets done. If they decide they're going to trade him, then they're going to work out a package. And, you know, I don't care how good you are. If it's Watson, if you were to get three number ones, maybe a couple twos and a defensive stud, that's enough. It's not like needing a fourth number one is going to make the difference.
Huh, Brian Pace made a point of talking about the upcoming free agent frenzy that will occur because lots of teams are going to be cutting players that maybe they would not normally have because of some of the salary cap restraints. What does that mean in the Bears world? Does that mean the Bears will have some surprise cuts, or will there be some surprise signings by the Bears out of that so-called frenzy?
You know, Mark, it's interesting because I kind of thought we know that we get very little that we can, you know, make much out of from Ryan. But I thought that may have been the most revealing thing that he said in that whole 20-minute visit. It's true, we know that, but the fact that he's focused on it is interesting. And I got the sense that he was referring more to the guys who were going to be available because he was talking about how his guys are prepared and they're ready to pivot and things like that. I think they already have a pretty good handle on their cap plan, on who could be cap cuts, who's going to get restructured, et cetera. So I think he was referring to the amount of talent that's going to be out there. And the other half of that, guys, that makes this so interesting, and this is why Allen Robinson remains unsigned. I don't believe for a minute. A-Rob has been frank all along that he wants to stay in Chicago. He hasn't backed off of that. He has opened up the door to considering other possibilities because this has become disappointing. But he wants to be in Chicago. And I think Pace and Nagy are being genuine when they say they really want him. He's too valuable, you know, beyond being a number one receiver, what he brings to the locker room as a leader. But this market is going to be so fascinating because not only are there going to be a bunch of guys cut who you wouldn't expect to be cut and be available, but because of the limited cap space that every team is working with, they're not going to get the mega deals that we're used to seeing in recent years. There'll be a few of them. You know, there's a handful of teams that still have more than 40 or 50 million in cap space, but it's literally five or six teams. There's only 11 teams in the league right now that have $20 million or more of cap space. Half the league is either at or over the cap. And so while teams will maneuver and they will create space by cutting guys, I think what Ryan's thinking is a lot of teams are going to cut some of their stars because there's going to be other stars that they can sign for less money. And that's one of the ways that these teams are going to be maneuvering their caps. So I think there'll be a surprise or two with the Bears. But you cannot, everybody's talking about Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller because those are the two biggest cap savings. If you cut Kyle Fuller, that's $11 million right off the cap clean. It's $10.5 million on Akeem Hicks. And they are both free agents at the end of 2021. They're also two of the five best players on your team, two of the five best players at their position in the league, and you have to replace them if you want to contend. That also is what plays into all this quarterback trading stuff. That's great if you're going to give up all these players and all these picks to get the quarterback, but then you're going to stink just like the Texans did at 4-12 last year with Watson because you don't have anything around them. So, you know, Ryan Pace is looking at the bigger picture here, and I think what he's thinking is that when he goes to address offensive tackle, which he knows he has to address, when he finds another starting safety, and when he looks at acquiring assets to try and maneuver for a quarterback, because you're not going to get your quarterback in free agency, I think that's what he's referring to when he talks about all this other talent that's going to be on the market. You could end up without an Akeem Hicks, but maybe you replace him with a Grady Jarrett, you know, I mean, for less money. And so I think that's what he was referring to.
Talking with Hub Arkish, Score senior football genius and the executive editor and publisher of Pro Football Weekly. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up offensive tackle. I have argued for weeks, and I just felt, and we are, I guess, we think alike. We share the same brain, and going back to the Jim Finks mentality of build an offensive line, build a defensive line. Everything else will eventually fill in. And I really don't have a problem if your starting quarterback is Nick Foles, and I want to start closer to the ball. I want to start building there. I want tackles, and because I like the interior part of the offensive line, I think that whoever you're going to bring in to play quarterback, and even whoever's going to be your number one receiver, whether it's Allen Robinson or not, I think you have to start there. That would be my priority. I don't know if you agree? And if you agree, how might that get done, Hub?
Rosie, I've been saying for 3 years now that I think the Bears' number one need has been offensive tackle.
Alrighty,
and it was exposed more than ever this year. I believe that, yeah, you want a franchise quarterback, but you can win a Super Bowl without one if you have a franchise left tackle or a really good one. The side has become less important. You do need two solid tackles now to run today's offenses with these outside zone reads where you're trying to create these seams outside the interior of the line. And I don't understand the evaluation of Charles Leno. I was stunned when they gave him the contract extension 3 years ago. I couldn't believe they gave him that money. Bobby Massey is actually a better right tackle than Charles Leno is a left tackle. But the problem with Bobby Massey is that after playing or starting 76 out of 80 games and getting the big contract, he's missed 14 of the last 32, and he's not exceptional. He's probably a little better than average, run blocking. He's a little below average in pass protection. You can win with him, but I don't think you can win with Charles Leno at left tackle. And what's disturbing to me is that I did a little just kind of calculating. It didn't take a lot of research on this. And not only have they badly misevaluated the talent level of their tackles, they've made no investment in the offensive line. I think Ryan Pace gets a bad rap, guys. I don't think he's a bad GM. I don't think he's a great GM or a good GM. He's made a couple high-profile moves, a couple big wins, a couple big losses. But at the end, he's a lot like everybody else. But what is disturbing to me about what he's done as the GM of the Bears is in six drafts now, he's drafted a total of seven offensive linemen and none in the first round and only three on day two. He hasn't gone out to try and get the people he needs. They look at free agency. He has signed some starters on the offensive line, but they've been journeyman average level players like Massey and Jermaine Ifedi. And at some point, if you want to win in the NFL, you have to invest your most valuable assets at one of the most important positions, and that is, in today's NFL, offensive tackle.
Do you think Alex Barrs can start a tackle for the Bears, Hub?
I'm curious to see that experiment, Mark. I was really excited when they got him. You talk about priority undrafted rookie free agents. There was probably half the teams in the league were interested in him. Nobody expected him to go undrafted, and he did play right tackle with these redshirt years. I get confused whether they were sophomores or juniors or whatever it was, but in his first year as a full-time starter at Notre Dame, he played the whole season at right tackle. He then played guard. I know in a lot of the draft write-ups, he was, as a prospect, considered a guy who had a left tackle body. And I think he's a really good football player. The problem I have with that, something I heard Tommy Thayer saying Thursday night here on the Score on the All Access show, is that I'm tired of these guys who are, flexible and malleable, and maybe they could be a guard, maybe they could be a tackle. As Rosie just said, I think they're in good shape on the interior of the offensive line right now. You've got James Daniels and Cody Whitehair with Pro Bowl upside at guard or center, and Barrs and Mustafa are clearly both NFL starters there. But now you need a pure stud tackle on either side of them. You got to go get true tackles, and I don't know that Alex Barr fits that description. He's a good football player. The problem is that he's kind of locked out inside because I believe that James Daniels should be at center. That's where he can be an all-pro. Whitehair is better at guard. Sam Mustafa is strictly a center. He's not going to play guard. He's not big or stout enough. Now, Barrs can, but they seem to like Mustafa at center enough that they're willing to play Daniels at guard. So I don't know what you do with Barrs if you're not going to play him at tackle. But I'd like to see him get a shot at left tackle, I guess is the answer, Mark. But they got to get competition from a top-level tackle as well.
No, it could start in a couple weeks. Hub, appreciate your time. Thank you for your expertise. Thanks for sharing with us.
Guys, thanks for having me. Hope you have a great day.
You too. That's Hub Arkish. He's the Score senior football genius, executive editor and publisher of Pro Football Weekly, and football analyst for Shaw Media. So you heard from Hub. You heard from me. You heard from Mark. We're going to hear from somebody who was recently in the Bears locker room, what he thinks about this, from Mitch to Match to everything else. Next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Brody with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score Saturday suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We are doing less of the suckage today because now we're going to hear from somebody who knows. Mark, you want to hear from somebody who knows? Somebody else
Absolutely.
Who knows.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Who might
what
that be?
What about Kyle Long? You like would you be interested in that if I brought
I love Kyle Long. I got to be honest with you. I heard the interview yesterday on the Parkins and Spiegel show. I thought it was great, but this is just like hearing or seeing a movie the first time. The second time, I'm going to listen and see what I get out of it this time as opposed to what I got out of it yesterday, which was greatness. Greatness.
Greatness. You get nuance and depth the second time as well as the massive knowledge. So we bring this to you from the Parkins and Spiegel show yesterday. Here is former Bear Kyle Long.
What do we get totally wrong about football? Like, you hear us and you're like, oh my God, they have no idea what it's actually like.
You'd be surprised because I wouldn't be able to tell you because I just don't know. I think you guys are passing the test with flying colors. I mean, it's awesome. Okay. I'd really be interested to hear what you guys think with all the free agency stuff and the big news that could be potentially coming out of House Hall in the next few weeks.
Yeah, all right. So that's the thing, Kyle. You tweet out, something tells me the Bears are about to make a massive splash in a good way. The fans deserve it. And do you have any inside information here, or are you just like us, or you're just reading Twitter?
Yeah, I have no inside information, but I do understand the position that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are in, and it's one that, you know, many a coach and GM have been in before. I mean, obviously, Chicago is one of the greatest cities in the world when it comes to food, sports, people, all that. And I think they deserve a winning team. And I think the fans deserve to have that level of entertainment week in, week out. And we know that that quarterback position is as important as any in the game. It's a quarterback-driven league. And I think Ryan understands that. I think Matt understands that. And I think they will stop at nothing to make sure that they bring in a guy who they think will catapult them into the playoffs year in, year out.
Who would you like to see be their week one starting quarterback next year?
Well, obviously the pie in the sky ones are Deshaun and Russell. You can't think of a team that doesn't have a chance to have those guys at quarterback. But other names that have crossed my mind, Sam Darnold was one I was thinking of. And I heard Mark Sanchez talking about Sam Darnold. He said, look, He can be as good as he wants to be, but if he goes out there and he goes three and out two times, he's going to get booed out of the stadium at MetLife. And that's the reality of the league. And I feel like you get a guy like Sam Darnold, you plug him in with a roster like Chicago, with a defense like that, the sky's the limit. So I'm just trying to, you know, maybe dial back the pie in the sky a bit. Deshaun and Russell would be amazing. Chicago deserves a quarterback like that, that caliber. But I think a guy like Sam Darnold's not to be slept on. He's a guy that hasn't really had his fair shot at it, fair crack at it. But, yeah, it's interesting. Are you willing to get rid of the pieces defensively that are really your identity at this point to obtain a guy who you think can put more points on the board each week? Look, defense is awesome, but you got to score points in this league in order to win.
Yeah, we're talking to Kyle Long here on The Score. Listen, Deshaun Watson's my favorite player in football. I wanted him to draft him in 2017. I've said there is no price too high because you can only trade first-round picks 3 years into the future. So you can trade four of them if you do it on draft day. I would trade four first-round picks and other players for Deshaun Watson. He's 25 years old. Is that crazy to Kyle Long?
You know, I'm not really hip to the dollars and cents and draft picks and all that stuff, but I do know whatever it takes to get a guy like Deshaun Watson in the Navy and Orange, you got to do it. You got to do it because if you have some struggles initially on the defensive side of the ball, which I don't think they will, they have guys who can step up. We've seen it time and time again. We've got youth on the roster, particularly in the secondary. You know, you look at Jalen Johnson and guys like that. I mean, they're ready to rock, bro. They're out of the box, ready to rock. If you bring a guy like, let's just use Deshaun, for example, if you bring him in there, it's that great quarterback effect where everybody understands the importance of the moment. Everybody understands the significance of who's in the locker room. And everybody understands that each and every week you have a chance to win because of that guy.
Well, that's really interesting because we often talk about great quarterbacks like that, Kyle, as a great deodorant. Like if the line is having troubles or if the scheme is not perfect or if the pass rush is coming because somebody slipped, that they can overcome all that. But you just kind of described their effect on the rest of the room, if we heard you correctly, that, you know, that like it's the seriousness of the moment. What does it mean to you as a player? What would it mean if you knew you all of a sudden had Deshaun Watson as your teammate?
Well, let's dial it back to last year, Tampa Bay, they signed Tom Brady. The effect that Tom Brady had on that locker room was as significant as the effect that Tom Brady had on the field from an individual level. Everybody on that team understood the importance of the moment, from the owner down to the water boy. Everybody understands you better bring it. Tom Brady's here. Let's not waste this. And I think and I know that the guys in that locker room are chomping at the bit in Chicago for a guy they can say, this is our guy. Unquestioned. Leader. Scorer of the football. That's what Chicago wants. That's what they've wanted for a very long time. And I think they have a unique opportunity to make that splash.
Is that something you can feel when it's not true? Like when you're just a little bit wondering about the quarterback or just kind of wishing it felt more secure, that maybe guys don't feel the seriousness of the moment. It's just sort of natural in that way.
You always feel the seriousness of the moment, but I can tell you when there's some adversity, if you're playing against a guy up north with a number 12 on his back, you start to have that doubt creeps in. And I feel like if you have a guy like Deshaun, like Russell, like any of these dudes we've talked about, you can say, hey, let's go do it to them now. And let's do it over and over and over again. You look at teams with Russell Wilson as the quarterback, and they always have a chance. It's just you can't convince me otherwise.
I completely agree. We're talking to Kyle Long here on Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. Now, you mentioned being open to a guy like Sam Darnold, and here's what I would say, and I think what a lot of Bears fans would say, is that, man, I don't know if I trust Matt Nagy to coach him up and develop him. We saw him get, you know, the second pick in the draft. Darnold was the third pick in the draft, a hot shot prospect in Mitch, and he didn't live up to his hype under the coaching of Matt Nagy. So why would I believe he'd be able to do that with a rookie in this draft in the first round or a young guy like Sam Darnold? What would you say to that?
Well, one thing I can say about Matt is he does a tremendous job in communicating with his players, particularly the younger players. He does a great job with youth. He is a teacher. He's a communicator in the building. And I feel like you get a guy like Sam Darnold who has his feet have been against the fire in that media market. It's brutal playing in the Northeast, I can imagine, particularly the quarterback position, particularly with the success or lack thereof that he's experienced. I think he would welcome the opportunity to have a guy like Matt Nagy. He would welcome the opportunity to play in a city like Chicago with the fans that are loyal and with you until the bitter end. I love that about playing in Chicago, and I think that Sam or anybody – for that matter, would enjoy it, and it would be a strength in recruiting. Honestly, there it's a hungry group. The coaching staff is hungry. They've got their backs against the wall. Management's hungry. Ownership's hungry. They're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seems like they're hungry and maybe desperate a little bit, Kyle. I mean, you think they get more than one year? Like if they go 8-8 with promise, that's trouble for them, don't you think?
Well, I think the Bears have to make the playoffs this year, and I think everybody knows that, and maybe even make the playoffs and win a game. That might be the thing that gets them an opportunity, but it's a brutal business. I mean, nobody survives in this league, dude.
Yeah, nobody survives. You know that firsthand, don't you?
Oh man.
Yeah, well, I'm not dead yet, but nobody survives the way they want to survive, I can say that.
Well, that's the thing, right? There are so few guys who get the John Elway send-off. It's good to hear that you're not dead yet, though, Kyle.
Yeah, well, you know, the old ticker's working. I'm out here in Arizona training. Just general health, feeling good. I lost a ton of weight last year, but I'm up at 310, 315. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Wait, 310, 315, if you lost weight and now you're at 310, 315, that sounds like gaining weight.
I feel healthy. This is what my body tells me I should be, 310. So, you know, I'm going to stay around here. I don't want to say no to the body, you know?
I like it. It
you
helps
look good
the ball
at 310.
Fly further.
Yeah. helps
yeah,
the golf
it helps the golf
fly.
Swing, I would imagine, right? Just bomb it off the tee.
I've been doing Muay Thai. I got kicked a bunch of times the other day. That's no fun. I think I'm not going to go back to that class.
good for you.
Those guys are crazy. Those guys are nuts.
Hey, you know, so you were talking about like what we think is going to happen in the free agency, right? And so the cap is down this year, and there's going to be a lot of veterans cut. Cordarrelle Patterson tweeted the other day, like, me and Allen Robinson wondering why the Bears haven't signed us yet. I saw you responded to that with just like the gif of Matt Nagy. What do you think? Because I've always said, and maybe I'm wrong, that like the players like Nagy, that he relates to them and he holds them accountable and all of that. I know you had your issues when you left, but like, am I off on that in terms of, or are
you
other
know,
guys
what,
looking
during
at that
the
side
intro, during the intro to this show, I heard Matt Nagy talking about a fast Friday, and I felt at home. I enjoyed playing for Matt. I didn't handle it the way I should. I didn't handle it like a professional at the end. And I was beat up and salty, and I have regrets about that. But, I think there's no doubt. If you're healthy and you're performing well, you like everybody. When you're unhealthy or you're not performing the way you want to perform, or there's maybe some contract dispute, things get a little touchy.
Sure.
What do you regret, Kyle? Was it something that we know publicly, or something that happened privately that we don't
know? I didn't bring positive energy towards the end. I was just so beat up, and I was a woe is me guy as opposed to what can I do to better the guys around me. And, you know, that's the nature of the business, but you live and you learn, right?
Hey, man, absolutely. And when it's all you've wanted to do and then your body starts betraying you like that, I can't imagine the position that would put you in mentally.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, this game's not for everybody. My dad told me that at a young age, and it took me 20 years to figure out why. You know, it is what it is. It's a beautiful game, but it's, you know, she'll bite you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.